Hi, and welcome to the Macro Show. We talk macro and trying to make sense of markets. Wait, aren't bonds up today? Yes, of course it makes sense. Am I right? My friends, thank you for joining me today. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter. And in today's show, we've got a ton of great stuff to talk about. Are we about to have a repeat of the last March's market crash? Quite possibly. Got some really interesting evidence on that. We see producer prices or factory prices shooting up. Is this it? Is this the destruction of the bond kingdom? Are you seeing it in real time? Or is it just a sign of a liquidity trap that's going to get reversed? In fact, we're even going to go on a hunt for liquidity traps today. Now, you know, that's really hard to do. It's like looking for black holes. Some people say you can't see them. Well, you're right. They're dark. As far as central bankers, they say liquidity traps don't exist. But if you look in the data, if you know how to find a black hole, right, you can see the light around it. Well, if you know how to look for a liquidity trap, you can find one of those too. Plus, we're going to look at what happens in liquidity traps to bond prices. Now, some of you are thinking, man, you must be off your rocker because bond prices are totally going to go down a lot more. Wait till you see what happens when we look at how they're compared during a liquidity trap. And you'll be amazed. We've got economic data, a bunch of other stuff, but let's get to this high level view. Now, this view is not my own. It's kind of in collaboration. And although I take a very minor role in the collaboration with Travis Kimmel, many of you know him as the El Presidente of Real Vision. You can find him and his pinned tweet on this at Colorado Travis on Twitter. So let me give you the high level view and then you can go find the more granular view on his Twitter page and engage him there. So Travis is a former software developer. Now, as a software developer, he knows that machines are only as good as their code, and code often becomes repetitive as they repeat certain tasks. Obviously, that's what they are, they're machines. And he started looking into the market and noticing some patterns in the broad equity market going up to the crash in March, which we know was not caused by a liquidity crisis. The liquidity crisis was a result of the crash coming down. And what was happening is liquidity was drying up and these algorithms, which we'll get into a little bit deeper here, backed out of their positions, which led to a liquidity crunch. Now, Travis has been seeing some of the same markers here again. And this will make sense for those in the software industry or programmers. If these artificial intelligence machines create a pattern that works because their goal is to generate a profit, well, what are they going to do? They're going to repeat it, but at a more extreme level. So let's first take a look at a chart provided by Travis of what happened going into March. And you see this very narrow kind of rising wedge built up, and then all of a sudden it gets somewhere to a peak and it breaks down. So that's the first thing. And he noticed that this happened even going back into December of 2019 where the market went down, and he's seen, gosh, look at this, the same patterns developing as stocks rise at a period where it really just doesn't make any sense. I mean, we're seeing corporate earnings decline on a year-over-year basis and stocks being bid up. It just is not a logical move here, but it looks like a machine move. So what did these machines figure out? That you can actually use leverage, maybe perhaps an option contract or futures contract, to move the market higher. And that's why you've been seeing these gap up moves overnight. Now, if you're new to investing, maybe in the last, say, few years, that's not normal. Like, you know, you go back 20 years, these big overnight gaps, not normal at all, very unusual. And so what you're seeing is machines push markets up and overnight, and then do it again, and keep repeating that process and getting other people to buy in with them. Now, looking back at March, this was very successful for them, and they had an exit plan that I want, and we're gonna look at that and then look at what's going on now, because the machines got, as you can see from here, they figured it out, did it again, and potentially are doing it again. And what's frightening here for equity investors is this could lead to a very large crash, much bigger than the one we saw almost a year ago in March, which was bigger than the one, of course, going into the end of December 2019. So what they're doing, or what they were doing, is they were rising up that channel. I guess that's the direction. As they were getting to that point, they started coming back underneath and buying volatility. And so the idea was when they hit their point where liquidity was drying up and they were going to exit, they just let all of those long contracts go, cashed them in, and then volatility takes off and they made money on that too. Rinse, repeat. Now, what was different about March is the bond market was obviously rallying and the dollar was doing okay. But this time, they added a whole nother layer. They shorted the bond market and they shorted the dollar. And what's different about this time is they're actually accumulating bonds. I know you're saying, well, wait a second, they're accumulating bonds? I've been selling off. We'll get to that. But let's look at what they actually have done underneath with the volatility structure. And to do that, we need to go to the VIX. And what is interesting about the VIX is you can see starting in June of last year, someone has been consistently picking up volatility right around this $22 to $25 price level on the VIX. So someone's been buying this because normally volatility gets compressed much lower. If we zoom out, you can see volatility should be down here in the teens. And in fact, a lot of experts say that equity prices have a lot higher to go because volatility is too high. But yet someone's been buying it. Now, if we dig a little deeper into this and we look at what's called the vol of vol, or volatility of the volatility index, VVIX. Now keep in mind, if you're thinking about trading any of these things, do not trade volatility. It is extremely dangerous. Not that this show is trading advice, but do not trade that. But look at what's going on in vol of vol. We see the same pattern. Someone in starting in June is picking up volatility, and this is unusual. This is a leverage play on the VIX. Obviously, it's volatility of the volatility index. And what's interesting as we zoom into this, you can see that there is a resistance level somewhere around this 125 to 130 price level. And there's a clear level of support, say from 105 down to 98, where again, someone's been accumulating these structures. Now you might wonder is how can they be buying vol and driving the equity market up? Well, they're using a lot of leverage and they're doing it in the overnight market. See, this is where we come back to that overnight market is they can jump prices in the overnight using futures contracts, but they're struggling during the day unless they get a lot of other people in. And that's why sometimes you see, all right, prices jumped in the overnight. They kind of rallied a bit during the day and then they pulled back without. Now they were up because of the overnight rally, and that is allowing them to pick up these volatility positions. Now they've done the same thing in the bond market, which is pretty interesting. Now let's go look at TLT. Then we'll come back and look at what's happening there. Because some of you say, well, but look, it's sold off. These are, when we looked at the money flow picture on this a few weeks back, you saw that there was massive amounts of accumulation in shares. In fact, if we zoom in over the, say, the last 6 months, you notice there's a lot of green candlesticks here. That's showing people are buying. But what would happen is you'd see like here, a slam down in the overnight, buying come in. Slam down on the overnight, buying come in. Someone keeps slamming the overnight and then buying. So here you see the Georgia election, right? Slam down, but someone came in and bought it. Then brought it down. But look, every time it came down, you see a lot of green candles. You see very few red. And then you see a big slam down here and then a bunch of volume pickup. Now look at yesterday's price action in TLT. You want to see what accumulation looks like? You're starting to see it here. So they drove prices down over the holiday, right? It came in at open, prices went up, slammed it down, and there was a lot of volume that day, right? Let's zoom back out and look at volume up here. This cayenne spike right here, nice picture of volume. And it went flat most of the day. It didn't get back to its open, but it traded sideways. That means as all these people are selling, someone's accumulating. Now, then in the overnight session, it went up and you see another accumulation pattern. Prices going sideways. Then the 20-year auction hit, slammed down. Now, normally what we've seen in the past is repeated pressure all the way down. And I would have expected this today to go all the way back down to the below the opening bell. We've seen that. If you're following this, you know that. But what happened? Somebody came in and they were accumulating shares all the way along into here, all the way back through into close. And if we go backwards just a little bit, you see a lot of these patterns are slam down on the overnight, and you see come or slam down the overnight and then buy in, slam down, buy in, slam. I mean, it's the repeat of this process almost over and over. So let's go back to volatility and look at what Travis noticed. You know, he's kind of like Neo of the Matrix. Like, he could see through the code. So here we have the VIX. And let's overlay VVIX, or volatility of vol. So we'll say vol of vol. So we'll go in here, VVIX. And what he noticed, and we'll see if we can zoom this in a little bit to make it more apparent, is he noticed right before this March spike that the VIX was falling. So you can see that VIX is falling, and vol of vol was rising. Now, that's a bit unusual unless someone is suppressing the VIX and letting vol of vol build up steam and take off. And guess what's happening right now? VIX is getting driven down here in purple. Vol of vol is sitting right up at its breakout level, right below there. Now, if his view is right, and even if it's not, it's still fun to look at this because it lends to some interesting thoughts that these AI algorithms got smarter and smarter. And what they've done is they figured out a pattern that they can repeat, and they've just done it at a more extreme level. Now, the risk is if we see a massive sell-off in equities that's greater than 30%, which given the amount of speculation in the market is entirely possible, well, it's going to be a huge problem because it could actually break the economy. I mean, we're talking about this would drive short-term yields to negative territory, would cause the whole back end of the curve on the long end to drive straight down. And these algos are accumulating. What did they learn the last time? Hey, they didn't buy bonds. They didn't have them. Well, now they got everyone out. They got everyone out of the dollar. They figured out what the play is. The risk is they're going to do an incredible amount of damage, but they don't care. That's not their game. So it's pretty interesting. Now, according to him, that we're very close to seeing a larger move down in the equity market. And if that does, well, that's great news for bonds, because if those of you who don't know, Travis is a huge bond bull. And of course, we appreciate all his contributions to this show. And there you go. So that is potential repeat of March coming pretty soon. And what is the catalyst, right? What is some of the catalysts that we're seeing? It's not just the setup, right? But what about gold mining stocks? Here we are. GDX is telling us liquidity has been drying up. Since when? Oh, just before June, when these machines started accumulating volatility positions. So here you see the proxy liquidity is breaking support on this head and shoulders pattern. Next destination's 31. And then this thing could realistically, and he and I both agree, would not be shocked if we get down to 12 to 14. Because that is how little buying power is left in the market to support things if there is a big unwind. There's no cash on the sidelines. All right, so now that we've done that, let's go and dig into what other cool charts we've got. Oh, we've got the economic data. So let's go through that. I want to show you still where liquidity traps and bonds come into play, because it'll blow your mind. And I'm pretty excited about that. So let's kind of skip through this real quick. Into the Tuesday data, we've got the New York Empire State Manufacturing Index. Now, this was much hotter than expected. So what's going on in the factory sector is we're seeing demands for goods and services from retail sales, which we'll look at, of course, momentarily, because they came out today. So here's the Empire State Manufacturing Survey. Now, the focus of this, what everyone got excited about it, was right here, prices paid. Now, we've looked at the ISM prices paid, and the New York Fed Empire State Manufacturing Survey is either right on with the ISM or a couple months behind. So everyone's looking at this and saying, all right, there's your evidence of massive inflation coming. Or is it just a liquidity trap? Well, we have to go to the actual survey. And we're not going to go through all the indicators, but we're going to go down to the ones that matter. Prices paid. Right now, we know that since 2015, this is the high, the last prior high. You have to go back to 2011 and then 2008. Notably, when it gets up in these levels, right, where it's currently at, it reverses. Keep that in mind. This just tells you where we're at. But look at prices received. Oh, they're not way up here. What is that telling you that's going on in a manufacturer? If you work in a manufacturer, you know exactly what this means. It means they're being squeezed, what's called squeeze at the margin. So manufacturers are paying more to get cost. Their input costs are rising, but they can't pass that on to the consumer. That's what a liquidity trap becomes. It's when you cannot pass your higher prices on. And what inevitably happens? Oh, they go down. Prices go down because what happens? Falling liquidity trap when prices go up. Could you remember? It's really simple. Demand goes, where's my down arrow? Demand goes down. Demand becomes bearish because consumers don't have the money to absorb the higher prices. And even if you see it in balance, like you see, okay, prices rise in a certain part of the economy, that means in another part, they've got to fall. Or if demand rises in a certain part, it's going to fall in another part. There isn't enough money. And that's what's really perplexing all these inflation experts right now. They keep saying, well, it's going to come next month because this is all going to turn around. But every month it's like, oh, well, then this went up and that went down. It's because we're in a liquidity trap. All right, let's go back to the economic data. The 3-month and 6-month auction still sitting near 0% on that. That's pretty interesting. The tick data, or when we look at foreign held treasury securities, it dropped again, but all not in the notes and bonds, but in T-bills. And everyone says, oh, look, it's bad news. It's a sign of inflation or deflation. Do you remember? Yep, a sign of deflation. It's a sign of a shrinking global economy. Now, some good news out of Japan. In January, exports were up 6.4% over last year, which was at 2, prior month at 2, and imports were not down as much, down 9.5% on a year-over-year basis. So a little improvement, exports coming out of Japan, that would be a positive sign. Great Britain, CPI year-over-year at plus 0.7, so a little increase in inflation there. But here, let's look at this PPI input. So prices going into the factory rose from 0.6 to 1.3. So that is inflation going into the factory. Now let's look at what's coming out of the factory. Minus 0.5 the month before, minus 0.2. So the factories are importing inflation and deporting and exporting. Yeah, that was odd. Exporting less deflation. They're getting squeezed at the margin. That's not what you really want to see in terms of being able to pass prices on to the consumer. So moving into the US data today, producer price index, everyone gets really excited over inflation, right? January, year over year, from 0.8 to plus 1.7. And where are these producer prices? They're right here. And where is the biggest increase in energy? From higher oil prices. Now that obviously there's some other inputs that have gone up in price, but the big one is energy. Even if that comes down, the PPI still went up a bit. But overall, we're seeing higher crude oil prices cause a problem, which will get reversed by a weaker or a stronger dollar. So, but they're still not being able to pass this on because we've seen consumer prices are effectively just running flat. Look at retail sales, though. This is incredible. A month over month, up 5.3% from minus 1. You want to see where stimulus checks are? Come in here, year over year, plus 2.53 to plus 7.43. Excluding gas and autos, it was up 6.1% in January. Even the feed into the GDP, which is this retail control group, up 6%. So you can see stimulus checks matter. Now, in a liquidity trap, what we would expect to see is these not hold. Now, this is where stimulus is real important. And you can see from the retail and food services report that it was broad-based. I mean, there was demand across the board from things that even people were not touching in the last couple of months. So those stimulus checks work. And that's the real key here, is in order to keep the economy going, you need stimulus pretty much every month, and it needs to be a large amount of stimulus to offset. So the fact is the stimulus is now showing up in the data, and I would expect in the months to come that number to fade and go down. It might not, but that's what I would expect. Either that, or I'm going to look for other parts of the economy that are going to suffer because people are focused on certain spending areas and not on others. That could be a factor too. All right, let's go and look at the next thing, which is Redbook, same store weekly retail sales. Now, I really like the Redbook. It went from 0.7, which is a danger zone, back up to 4. And here you can see that it is starting to roll over and head down and then popped back up. So these are same store brick and mortar retail sales. They're not internet sales. And so I thought, okay, this thing's going to roll over and head down. But what I want to show you is where you can find a liquidity trap in all of this. So here is the money multiplier, which is the M2 divided by the monetary base, and I've got in red the consumer price index. Now let's just skip a little bit past the great financial crisis, because we went from a deflationary print on the CPI as everything got itself worked out. But this is how you see a liquidity trap. Consumer prices are rising, see in red, up. Money multiplier falling. So it's telling you this is a liquidity trap going into August or June, July, August of 11. Now let's go over to Red Book and see. So 2011, we get a peak right here, and it starts to roll over as sort of later on in the year as it goes down into 2012. So what does that tell you? Those higher prices were rejected. Now let's go and look at the next phase. You see, here's another one. The CPI is coming down, it's starting to fight and go up. The money multiplier going down, and it peaks around May of 2014. All right, let's go look. May, 2014, right in here. And then going late in 2014 gets rejected. There's your liquidity trap. It's kind of like a black hole. You know, you can't look right at it and know it's there. You have to know what to look for. And so we go again right here. Boom, consumer, this is it. Inflation right up here, February 17. But the money multiplier didn't rise that much. So let's see what happened. February of 17, not much change. Now, this time it didn't really happen. There was rejection a little bit if we zoom in. Let's see. So there's a little bit rejection in late 2017. Not huge like we've seen in the past. So let's go forward. Here we have another one. June of 18, it peaks, consumer prices peak. And where's June of 18? So still we see consumer sales rising, no effect there. And then we get into 2019. And that's because the money multiplier here is rising, and that's helping support the fact that the liquidity trap is there, it's just not that big. Wait till you see the bonds. Now you get a nice liquidity trap going in January 2020. Consumer prices are rising. You see the money multiplier falling. And you get that trap here. Of course, now you're gonna say, well, that the COVID played a game part of that. Well, here really it starts to slow down and then it goes off the cliff. So we're kind of seeing right now that there's another liquidity trap forming, which would suggest to me that the direction for retail sales out once the stimulus passes through should go down. Now remember, there are three ways out of liquidity trap. One, Fed has to raise federal funds rate and undo its balance sheet through quantitative tightening. Not going to happen, right? Probability of that is zero. We need to do a large fiscal stimulus every month that it gets into the M2 money supply, so direct to consumer into their bank accounts. Are we going to do that every month? No. Probability of that, zero. How about lending? We need to see lending growth. Are we seeing that? Nope. Too many, not seeing lending growth. And even if we did, it would have to be a substantial amount every month to offset what the Fed is doing. So we know this is only going to get worse. Now, what does that mean for bonds? Well, let's take that same chart. We'll go put that up, and we're going to get to the, we'll put up a chart of TLT in the background. So we'll flip back and forth, and let's go. When's the first one here? So we have September 2011, peak of CPI. So we're knee deep in liquidity trap. Let's see, September 2011, right in here. We're in the liquidity trap, and a new bond kingdom is formed, right? So here you see selling down, everyone thinks inflation's coming. I'll zoom in, inflation's coming. And what happens then, down here, interest rates are about to go to new all-time highs, probably bond prices are gonna crash. And then liquidity trap drives bond prices to new all-time highs, new bond kingdom rebuilt out of the ashes of the old. Now let's go to the next one. Here you have May of 14. And so let's go and look. What do we have in here? 2013 here, May, right in here, we're in a liquidity trap. Bond prices, again, look at that. Sell down. Aha, rally, sell down. This thing's over. Oh, new all-time high. New bond kingdom formed. Wow, that's pretty cool. What's next? Let's see, 2014, liquidity trap coming back into February 17. Let's see what we have. And mind you, this one here went on to make another new all-time high. 2017 in here. Well, it made a high, but not a new all-time high. First one it didn't, but it still went up. And where did it eventually go? Whoops, we need to flip back. And we then immediately get a second one here in middle of 18. And where's middle of 18? Right in here. So it dips down. Aha, this is it, right? Breakdown, technical breakdown, right? TLT is going way down. Everyone said it's over. And then boom, new all-time high. New Bond Kingdom, rise from the ashes again. Now we got another liquidity trap, right? Going into January 2020, right before the pandemic, when no one knew we were going to have one here. And see here, this sold down. We'll zoom in. See, selling down, selling down. This is going to break. This is a technical pattern suggesting bond prices are headed lower and new all-time high. So what you find out is that in liquidity traps, what happens is everyone thinks inflation is coming and then bonds generally make new all-time highs. And if they don't, then you saw the one time it didn't, and then shortly later it did. So when people say, well, interest bond prices are headed down forever, this is it. We're going to see new all-time highs in interest rates, secular rally in interest rates. We're in a liquidity trap. History says there will be a new bond kingdom formed from the ashes of the old. It will be even more glorious than the last one. Anyways, don't have time to look at the quant stuff that I had for you because we've gone way over time. But anyways, thanks for sticking with me through this little longer than normal episode so you can actually see that a liquidity trap is massively bond bullish. And potentially, if Travis is right, go check out his pinned tweet, that the simultaneous effect of these, well, that's going to be even more bond bullish. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter. I will see you Friday for the Macro Show. Thanks for watching and being a fan. The content of this video is provided as educational information only. It is not intended to provide investment or other advice. The show is not to be construed as a recommendation or solicitation by our selling security, financial instrument, or participating in particular trading strategies. The video was prepared by Steve Van Meter, personal capacity. Opinions expressed in this video that do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Advisors, Inc., or Steve Van Meter Financial.